Dinambo Data Vibes. Hello everyone, this is Neha, your podcast host, and we bring you our latest episode of Dinambo Data Vibes. Please welcome one of our favorite guests on the show, Mr. Robin Tandon, who is the Director of Product Marketing at Dinambo for the regions of Europe, Middle East, Africa, and Latin America. Robin's experience in the data space spans over 25 years of immeasurable industry knowledge and know-how, ranging from enterprise to cloud software arenas to so much more. Robin, a very warm welcome to you. We're very happy to have you join us for the third time actually in the show. Before we begin our discussion on data mesh, I'm sure our audience would love to get a short introduction and a quick recap about yourself and your experience within the tech industry and with Dinambo. Over to you.
Hi, thanks Neha. Saying 25 years makes me feel very old. In fact, yes, I have been around software and technology for a long time. I often joke with my kids, I completed my bachelor's degree before the internet even existed. And in that time, since then, I've really only ever worked in enterprise software, cloud solutions. Prior to Dinambo, I was working for the world's leading door access and lock manufacturer, and I helped them develop and market an innovative IoT cloud solution. And prior to that, a lot of my time was spent with various contactable call centers technology providers. And that's really where the data comes out of it. So data, access to data, and customer 360 are imperative. So you can say data has been around me all my working life.
But moving on to our topic of discussion today, let's start with data mesh. So what exactly is a data mesh? Can you tell us a bit about the concept?
Yeah, absolutely. So I really like the question. It's pretty easy and straightforward to answer. Data mesh is a concept, and it was proposed by a lady called Zamek Degani when she was working for ThoughtWorks. And it's actually relatively recent, and that was only in 2019. So the concepts are quite simple. The idea is to provide a framework for a data sharing culture. That seems pretty straightforward, right? Well, yes and no. She proposed that data mesh is an analytical and operational model where data is treated as a product and owned by teams that most intimately know and consume the data. So what does that really mean? Well, in the paper, we see that essentially the concept of a data mesh is the definition of an adherence to a set of business processes. What data mesh is definitely not is a product or set of technologies. In fact, to the contrary, from what you might be hearing from other vendors and actors in the data management integration space. So if we consider the old paradigm of centralized data governments, this is an approach to avoid it. I could for ages go on talking about data domains, data product owners, and data sets, but really all we speak about when we speak about a data mesh is a new way of thinking and sharing data.
Great. To understand the topic a bit further, we spoke about modern data architectures in our last episode. Could you tell us why data mesh as a concept is propelling organizations to move from a monolithic architecture to a logical architecture?
Absolutely. So the idea of a monolithic architecture is well documented to be a fallacy. I can count on less than one hand the amount of organizations I've come across where all the data they have is in a single place. The truth is there are various forces working against the concepts of centralized data. And these are what we call the forces of anti-gravity, so the data anti-gravity. Now, these forces include geography. So sometimes it's just not possible to move data to a central location. For example, if it crosses international boundaries, you can hit regulatory issues there. Over here in Europe, we have GDPR. I know in India, there's new regulations and different countries. In Canada, they've got different regulations to the US. So they all stand to prevent you from doing that. Technology as well. It can be totally impractical to shift data because the IT effort might be enormous. So if you've got an old IBM mainframe running a DB2, the idea of creating a data pipeline and shifting it all out of there, it's just not going to happen. Ownership. And this is one of the ones a little bit cultural, really. Often it's really hard to get people to let go of ownership. So there may be social and operational reasons for this. So today, lots of people have identified that we're now in the third phase of analytical consolidation. These include some of the leading industry analysts from Forrester, from Gartner. In fact, I was talking to a guy from IDC last night, and he was telling me about how some of the things they're seeing with their customer base are around data management and data sharing and the fallacies of the centralized architecture.
Speaking of centralized architectures, why is a logical approach using data virtualization a key foundation for data mesh then, according to you?
Most important word there is logical. So you will see vendors out there advocating a centralized approach. So you'll see if you look up data mesh, data lake vendors will come up. And they'll say, move all your data to your data lake, and then you can apply the principles of a data mesh. In my mind, they're actually missing the point here. The reason why Zamek proposed the concepts around a data mesh is because she had seen and experienced organizations failing to centralize all their data. With data virtualization, you turn this into a reality by applying the logical data access capabilities. If you think about it, data virtualization is the ideal tool to achieve a fully governed distributed data mesh. Data virtualization allows you to connect and create views or data products. It allows the access to be distributed to distributed data sources locally and geographically separated, irrespective of the type or format. So again, we don't care whether it's a relational database, a real-time feed from a social media app, or unstructured data sitting in a Hadoop cluster. Did you know the Nodo platform has native connectors to over 150 different data sources? And as I said, these include all of the things like RDBMSs, apps and social media feeds, etc.
Right. Okay. So then how does data mesh solve the problems that a centralized monolithic architecture poses?
So data mesh is a powerful concept, and by providing the guidance, processes, and governance for the distributed architecture, you really don't need to go to that monolithic architecture. So if you implement a data mesh with a logical layer, typically powered by data virtualization, you'll soon see the benefits. I mean, I was listening recently to one of our customers speak about how using Denodo, they went from 3 to 6 months to create a data product to being able to do it in a matter of half a day. For me, that's exactly how data mesh solves challenges of a centralized monolithic architecture.
Thanks for explaining it so well, Robin. Since this is a fairly new concept, there have been a lot of questions around this topic lately, and you summarized it really well. Thank you for talking to us about data mesh and why it is so important for organizations. You know what's waiting next, don't you? Our all-time favorite Q&A round. So let's get started, shall we? We'll do this one very quickly. So what has been the best thing about 2022 till now?
Well, 2022 started well and it's continuing to go well. So as most people know, I'm in the UK and we're now pretty much back to pre-pandemic conditions. There are no real restrictions in place, and I must admit, I am very thankful for that.
Oh, I really hope it continues this way. I think none of us want to go back to the lockdown phase again. Like, you know, hopefully, fingers crossed. And my next question to you is, are there any new hobbies you have explored over the past few months?
Yeah, well, getting into again, so not so much a new hobby, but a reawakening. So during the first part of the year, I've been very busy with my garden, just finishing off the works this week. And we really need to do something because we'd been living in this house for 15 years and had hardly touched it. So I'm discovering new ways to enjoy myself outdoors, and I've planted a full-on vegetable patch with cabbages, tomatoes or tomatoes, depending on where you are, onions and even some peas. So hopefully by the time the summer comes, and here in the UK, that could be that 1 week in August, we may have some fresh fruit and veg.
Perfect answer for my next question. I was just going to ask you, what is something that you are looking forward to by the end of this year? So I'm sure you would say reap the benefits.
Absolutely. So reap the rewards of the gardening. I also have built a nice barbecue area. So ideally, we'll be enjoying the deck and the barbecue and, you know, frying up some nice food with the fruit and produce that we create ourselves. If not, it'll be a trip to the supermarket.
Very nice. So some chilled out barbecue plans for the summer then. Awesome. Thank you so much, Robin, for being a wonderful guest and for talking to us about a very unique concept today.
Well, it's been my absolute pleasure, and I look forward to our future interactions.
Of course. Thanks a lot, Robin. And a quick message to our listeners. If you've enjoyed this episode, please head over to www.denodo.com/podcast to find out more resources on all things data.